Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Small church, but serious about our faith. Well, this week's program is a continuation of this whole COVID-19 situation. You can call it hysteria, you can call it a movement, a reaction. It's certainly the lead story for the media. And for Christians, it is a great teachable moment. We should always be learning the lessons God plans to teach us through current social political events. Case in point, the Old Testament historic book, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, all the spiritual lessons were contained in national events. Wars, plagues, famines, kings. And as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, how is it that you know how to forecast the weather, but you don't discern the signs of the time? Well, for review, I'd like to begin with three stories. First, the story I shared last week about Jessica Wilson in Seattle, a healthy 37-year-old mother of two young children who took the J&J vaccine and died from heart inflammation and blood clots brought about by the vaccine. She was reluctant to take the shot, but the state mandated the vaccine if she was going to be a helper in her daughter's classroom. A second story. Last week, another one of the many breakthrough cases, Sean Kuhn, a fully vaccinated 21-year-old student at the University of Georgia, died of COVID-19. He died of respiratory infection. Sean was a senior studying exercise and sports science. He was in excellent physical shape. A third story. Josh Tidmore and his wife Christina in Alabama were healthy and in their 30s. Christina and Josh figured they were at low risk for COVID-19. And with conflicting viewpoints filling their social media feed and social circles, they decided to wait on getting vaccinated. On July 20th, Josh came home from work with a slight cough. He initially thought it was sinus trouble. 21 days later, he died of COVID-19 at North Alabama Hospital. He leaves behind his wife and three children. Three stories of three young adults. One dies from taking the vaccine. One dies from COVID, having taken the vaccine. And one dies from COVID, not having taken the vaccine. Now, although the death rate for COVID is less than 1%, and most of the deaths are occurring in people who already have other fatal diseases, people are still dying of COVID. About 700,000 in the United States. Now, my lesson last week was about Christian opposition to this philosophy of utilitarianism, the greatest good for the greatest number of people. And this is a pagan ideology that's driving COVID policy in America. That it's acceptable for 1,700 people to die from the vaccine in order to allegedly save 300,000 or 400,000 others who might die from COVID otherwise. And in the words of the FDA, it's an acceptable risk. And to be clear, the CDC has reported that 1,700 Americans have died from complications related to the vaccine. And about 25,000 have been disabled. Like the pro tennis player, Jeremy Chardy, who took the vaccine and it resulted in so many medical problems, it ended his tennis career. And NBA player, Brandon Goodwin, with the Atlantic Hawks, the vaccine resulted in blood clots that ended his basketball career. Blood clots is just one of the many reactions to the vaccine. Quote from Goodwin, I got sick. I never quite recovered from it. I had back pain. I was super tired in the games. I couldn't run up and down the court. I was fine up until I took the vaccine. Now people tried to tell me, no, it's not the vaccine. It's not the vaccine. How do you know? Well, yes, the vaccines ended my season 1,000%. And Brandon Goodwin said the NBA told him to keep quiet about this. Which is a whole other story. There is a media blackout about the deaths and the adverse reactions to the vaccines. YouTube announced at the end of September that it will take down any video that questions any medically approved vaccine. And they're doing this for apparently the greater good, as they define it, or as what's being defined as the greater good by the politicians. Now imagine for a moment, if the nightly news ran that story about Jessica Wilson, age 37, dying of the vaccine, and then the next night they ran the story about Jeremy Chardy, and the next night about Brandon Goodwin, I guarantee you that within at least a week, very few people would be willing to take the vaccines, and the pharmaceutical giants and the Biden administration would be completely discredited. But if the media ran stories every night about unvaccinated people dying of COVID-19, which they're currently doing, many more people would be running out to get these vaccines. So this is just a reminder of how much power the media has over the minds of the American people, even over our own attitudes. The media can make or break any government policy depending on how they want to report the story. It's been pointed out that this pandemic crisis will be over whenever the media says that it's over. Now, the way that it's being reported now is that these vaccines are the solution to the COVID problem. Normally, vaccines or any medicines that result in this level of adverse reactions would be taken off the market. But we're dealing with something quite unusual here, COVID hysteria. And our society is applying the ungodly philosophy of utilitarianism, that it's okay to have sacrificial lambs, people dying of the vaccine for the greater good. For our culture, it's acceptable 1,700 people die of the vaccine, rather than the Christian philosophy of preserving all life and looking for other alternatives. Here's an interesting story in this regard. The Biden administration is planning to have the government agency OSHA enforce a workplace safety regulation requiring every company that has more than 100 employees to require a COVID vaccination. Now, in the past, OSHA required companies to record any negative effects employees may experience from OSHA rulings. And in regard to these vaccines, OSHA has been requiring any company that requires a vaccine to report any adverse reactions in employees. Now, this was only if companies required the vaccines, but not if companies only recommended the vaccines. But just last week, OSHA changed their policy in preparation for this new federal government enforced mandate. Companies no longer are required to track adverse reactions to the vaccine because the government doesn't want to know about those reactions. So when the companies mandated the vaccines, the companies need to report adverse reactions, but not when the government is mandating these vaccines. No reporting is required. So you see, something very bizarre is going on. There is the suppression of negative news about these vaccines. And one cannot help conclude that this phenomenon is likely coming from two sources. First, this philosophy that the ends justify the means. I mean, that's really philosophical, but I believe that is really the mindset undergirding most political policy today. From open borders to abortion to deficit spending, the higher law of God is not even considered. People now believe the ends justify the means. The second reason for this phenomenon, a more obvious reason, is likely the amount of money being made by these pharmaceutical companies. If you know anything about marketing and the media, these companies pay to have reporters plant and focus on certain stories to bury their competition and to advance their products. So when you read a story in the media, always be suspicious. So now Pfizer is pushing vaccines for children ages 5 to 12. Even before the FDA has approved of vaccines for young children, the Biden administration has already purchased from Pfizer those vaccines. Here's an article from ABC. The Biden administration buys 65 million Pfizer pediatric vaccine doses. That's more than enough to fully vaccinate all 28 million U.S. children in that age group with a two-shot regimen. Federal officials say that 31,000 providers have enrolled to administer the vaccine to children. The FDA could authorize these vaccines for kids within a few weeks. So it's already a done deal. They have purchased the vaccines even before they're approved. Here's an article from CBS. FDA weighs the risk of myocarditis in reviewing Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for kids 5 to 11. Food and Drug Administration said Friday, it concluded the overall benefit of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children 5 to 11 may still outweigh the risks, after the agency estimated that in most scenarios, the vaccine could prevent more COVID-19 hospitalizations in young children than cause a serious side effect linked to the shot. Well, notice it's a gamble. And it is a scientific fact that COVID-19 is not affecting the children. There are no super spreading events or serious breakouts in our public schools. And the vaccine manufacturers even admit that adults and children can still be carriers of the virus even after being fully vaccinated. So why vaccinate all of these children? The number of total deaths related to COVID-19 in ages 0 to 4 since the COVID pandemic began is 195. In ages 5 to 18, it's been 412. Now, these are children who already had serious other medical problems. Now, relatively speaking, that is a very small number. Also, an FDA fact sheet document reveals that 86% of children who participated in a Pfizer COVID vaccine trial reported adverse reactions, ranging from mild to severe. So when this vaccine is administered to children 5 to 12 years old, some children will die. Will it be 50? Will it be 100? Will it be more than the number of children who would have died from COVID if they had no vaccine? We don't know. But why vaccinate children when children are not being affected by the disease? And the benefit of the vaccine is questionable. Just like the masking of elementary school children. Masks have been proven to be almost negligible in preventing the spread of COVID. Well, so why is all this happening? Well, because I believe we're dealing with an irrational COVID hysteria and financial greed. Pfizer stands to make a boatload of money on vaccinating 28 million children, and probably in their minds, can't do much damage. It might even help. And look at all the money we'll make. Now, bear also in mind that there is now evidence that all of these vaccines are failing. They don't create long-term immunity. They're not doing what they promised to do. Vaccinated people are still dying of COVID, and this is not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Now, if you've gotten the shot, you're not a bad person. But just don't buy into the narrative that there are no risks in the vaccine and that you're totally now immune from the virus. You know, that original propaganda is now completely discredited. And if you go get the booster shot, just realize you're probably going to have to get it again in 6 months because they don't last. So because of all this, there is a huge resistance movement in progress. The state of Arizona is in court asking for a restraining order on the Biden administration vaccine mandates. From the state's attorney general, the COVID-19 vaccine mandate is one of the greatest infringements upon individual liberty, federalism, and the separation of powers in any administration in our country's history. Also, this story, nearly 1,900 Washington State employees quit or were fired over COVID-19 vaccine mandates. And this story, Minnesota hospital shuts down ER and urgent care amid nurse strike. And also remember, a couple weeks ago, the complete collapse of Southwest Airlines because their airline workers were calling in sick to protest Southwest's vaccine mandate. Now, no one was admitting that this was a protest because to not show up to work if you work for the airlines is against federal law. So it was all hush-hush. But all of the management knew that this was a protest. And since then, Southwest has backed down on the mandate. Also, half the Chicago police force, with the backing of the union, is refusing to get vaccinated. They're in a showdown with Lori Lightfoot, the mayor. And it's been reported that it's not just the police, but other city workers. They don't want to be vaccinated. And so Chicago has had to back down on their forced mandate. The governor of Florida, DeSantis, made a great statement recently. Quote, no one should lose their job over these vaccines. And DeSantis is inviting any police officer who is laid off due to these state mandates to come down to Florida to work. DeSantis will give them a job in the Florida police force with a $5,000 bonus. You know, there's a great lesson here in God's providential protection and judgment. At the very moment the left is pushing for these mandates, firing people who won't get vaccinated, the country is experiencing something that has never happened before. There are not enough workers to fill jobs. So these blue states, to their own detriment, are laying off unvaccinated employees that they can't afford to lose. You know, this economic situation couldn't have come at a worse time for these politicians who want to marginalize conservatives and fire them from their jobs. And, you know, this is like Pastor Brad's life lesson number 41. When the world persecutes their opposition out the front door, their own problems are going to be pouring in through their back door. Now, there's plenty more that can be said about the resistance movement, but I'm running out of time. What are the spiritual lessons in all this? That's how I began the program. What's God trying to teach us? What I've been saying since this whole pandemic began is that the public is going to learn that the scientists and the politicians are not going to save us. I believe history is going to show they made the situation worse. In the Spanish influenza that hit the United States in 1918, historians will tell you that when it was all done, the American people had lost their faith in the politicians and the scientists because in that day, all of their policies also failed. And it's happening again. And yes, I realize that God raises up godly kings to save people from harm, but in this case, this looks like God's judgment brought on by the microbiologists in Wuhan and further by the hysteria of politicians thinking they have all the solutions. In this case, Psalm 146:3 applies. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. Also, Psalm 118, verse 8, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I really believe the only thing that will stop this virus is when it runs its course. Not that we do nothing, but we sure can make it worse by thinking we can resort to drastic measures to bring about zero COVID. Here's a quote from a seasoned journalist who makes this point. Quote, I'm going to sound crazy, but government strategies have made no difference to the spread of this highly contagious but moderately dangerous respiratory disease. Unquote. Well, two final lessons. First, we need to stand up for what's right. I recently read about a social study where an individual was shown a group of three lines and was asked which one was the shortest. There were other participants in the room who were asked the same question. And they all agreed together on the right answer. But these other participants were plants. And they started to say the wrong answer was the right answer. And the individual in this test would soon start to go along with the wrong answer. Because for most people, they would rather be wrong and get the approval of the group than to be right and be considered wrong by the group. And that's the way many people are morally. They do not stand up for what's right. If they're told to do something useless or ridiculous or even morally wrong, they go along to get along. Because it's hard to stand up against the spirit of this age, to stand up against groupthink, and what's often called mass psychosis. Here's an article. A doctor at UCLA, willing to lose everything, was escorted from the medical facility for refusing the COVID vaccine. He said the following. This is what happens when you stand up for freedom. When you show up to work, willing to work, despite being unvaccinated, this is the price you have to pay sometimes. What they don't realize is that I'm willing to lose everything, my job, my paycheck, my freedom, even my life for this cause. Well, if this doctor was willing to suffer such loss to do what he believes is right concerning the vaccine, how much more should we stand up for Christ? Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, was recently recorded saying at Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina, there's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, or any of that filth. And yes, I call it filth. And if you don't like that I call it filth, come see me about it. And the congregation applauded. Well, the LGBT community in North Carolina went ballistic. They tried to cancel Lieutenant Governor Robinson, but he responded, "We will not be intimidated. We will not back down. We will not change our language. The language I used, I am not ashamed of it. I will use it in the future because, again, it is time for parents in this state to take a strong stand for their children." So while most politicians run for cover, apologize, step down, Mark Robinson helps us all by taking a stand, which encourages others to stand. And that's Philippians 1:14. Paul writes that most of my brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of Christ without fear. So be a trailblazer in courage. Because when you take a stand, that encourages others to take a stand, and that is why there's a media blackout on vaccine resistance and protest. They don't want the word to get out there, but the word is getting out there. It's pretty hard to hide the fact that 43% of the American public is not taking the vaccine. Now, my second lesson is to be patient and to wait. Because those who are right will always be vindicated. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Well, that's a wrap. As always, this radio program is a flyover. The complete video version of this program is on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is going to be program 522, YouTube number 189. The website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again or other past programs and access all of the links. Thank you for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to discern the signs of the time, to learn the lessons you're showing us, and to stand in the evil day, having done everything to stand. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.